Ryan TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light, with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster. Joining me just a moment is John Ramos. The persecution of Christians and Jews. You know, it is amazing what is taking place today when you look at all the people that are surrounding Israel, trying to bring harm to Israel. But what's even a greater shock right now is the fact, because the church is all over the world, and Christians are, and they're being persecuted, and they're being killed, they're being beheaded, reports are, they're being sold into sex slave, they're being, you know, we saw the Christians on Tripoli, in Libya, on the shores of Tripoli, where they beheaded the 21 Christian men there that went from Egypt to be able to get work for their family, get money for their family. And the waters just ran with Christian blood. And we're just seeing on a mass scale Christians being persecuted. The original land of the Bible in the Middle East. And it's like, it's just silent everywhere. Today we're going to be talking about, what do we do? What does God expect from us to do? And we need to be careful that we don't do like happened during World War II, when persecution happened to the Jews and to 60 million people lost their lives in World War II. But the persecution under Hitler, when they heard the trains filled with Jews that were screaming and calling out for help, the reports are, when the train was passing by a church, they said, "Turn the music up, we can't hear the music. We need to pay attention." We should have responded and not allow that to happen to the Jews and all the people that lost their lives in World War II. God requires us to stand up. I want you to take a look at this. This is an author of a book called Defying ISIS. His name is Johnny Moore. He's being interviewed by Glenn Beck. And understand, this book is specifically about what's taking place in the persecution of Christians. Watch this.
I want to introduce you to Johnny Moore. He's been on the program before. He's a friend and just a really solid guy. He's the author of Defying ISIS, Preserving Christianity in the Place of Its Birth in Your Own Backyard. I want you to get this book. This book was just sped up by HarperCollins, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Just sped up because the crisis is getting so bad in the Middle East. And as it says here on the back, has a Christian Holocaust begun? The answer is yes, it has. I was just talking to one of the head guys at the Simon Wiesenthal Center in Los Angeles, and I've never had a Jewish person say this to me ever before, and especially from Simon Wiesenthal. And he said, "Glenn, please will you do me a favor?" And I said, "Sure." He said, "Will you stop talking about the persecution of Jews?" And I was stunned. And I said, anti-Semitism is through the roof. And he said, "The Holocaust is happening now." I don't think he used the word Holocaust. He said the real persecution right now, far more than the Jews, is the Christians. We've got to stand behind the Christians right now. And this is what your book talks about.
Yeah, I mean, Glenn, this is a once-in-a-thousand-year crisis we're witnessing in the Middle East. We have Christian communities that have thrived for nearly 2,000 years. Jesus himself gave the gospel to Thomas. Thomas takes the gospel to Iraq. I mean, this is the place of the birth of Christianity, and we're watching the full-scale elimination, Nazi-style tactics. And by the way, you know, most...
Literally Nazi-style tactics.
I mean, incomprehensible things. Yeah. And literally, most people that are watching this think this came from nowhere this summer.
Right.
But this has been going on since 2003. They're not starting something, they're finishing it.
Johnny, tell me what are the things that are happening that you talk about in the book that people would be surprised to know?
Well, on the front page of the ISIS magazine in October was St. Peter's Square, right there in the Vatican, and ISIS superimposed a flag atop the Egyptian obelisk of St. Peter's Square. They put the ISIS flag there. Now, this isn't like some accidental thing. This is intentional. Every single time Baghdadi has spoken, every single time, everything he's written, he says 100% of the time that they're marching all the way to Rome. And what's really interesting about Baghdadi is he took charge of this organization, ISIS, which was then called the Islamic State of Iraq, in May of 2010. His first church bombing was in October 31st of 2010. Almost as quickly as he took the reins, he went after these Christian populations. And in that particular situation, I mean, he, you know, has these guards dressed as security guards. They show up inside this Catholic church in Baghdad, Our Lady of Salvation. They killed 50 people, and they assaulted another 70. There was so much blood that the blood was splashed on the walls and on the ceiling of the cathedral. And that was in 2010. Since that time, every single church in Iraq and every single church in Syria has built bomb walls around their churches to protect themselves. They're like sitting ducks. I mean, this is what's so important about what Sons of Liberty is doing. You know, about 14 days ago, ISIS came in a 40-vehicle convoy, clearly an ISIS convoy, 40 vehicles. They attacked 10 Christian villages along the south of the Khabur River in Syria. They kidnapped 300 Christians. Now tell me, if the United States government and the European governments are very serious, as they say they are, about getting rid of ISIS, how did a 40-car convoy of ISIS heading towards 10 unarmed Christian villages not get blown to smithereens? It all happened with the whole world watching, and you know, there's Christian after Christian after Christian, pastor after pastor beheaded. Their wives and children have been put on slave markets. I mean, everything you can imagine. I have a priceless, it's so hard to even think about. It says Yazidi Christian girls, 1 to 9 years old, $170. They kidnap these Christian families. They say in their literature they want to enslave rape their wives and enslave their daughters. They behead the men. They've done it over and over and over again. There were 1.5 million Christians in Iraq in 2003. At best, there are 150,000 left. And these are the Christians that they have carried the gospel for 2,000 years.
How come? You know, I've heard about crucifixions. Is that true? Are they crucifying children? Are they crucifying people? Either of you know?
They're overt in their literature that they are to do it, and there are pictures of them doing it. And by the way, tons of stories of them beheading children. I mean, I have one story in defying ISIS. I you know, literally have gotten so connected on the ground. I get emails and text messages from pastors and Christians in the region. It's the 21st century. There's no barrier. They can communicate with
Correct.
You. And one of these says ISIS came from village to village, and they stopped asking the parents if they were Christians because they thought it would be worse if they asked the children. So this one particular village, this pastor sends me a text message, and he says, ISIS is coming to my village. They've stopped asking the parents if they're Christians. They've started asking the children. Every single one of the kids has said that they are, and every single one of the kids has been killed in cold blood. Please pray for me. I don't know what to say to these parents, and I don't even know how to call myself a Christian seeing the faith of these children. Every atrocity you can imagine.
When you're talking to the people over there, what is it they say about us and our inaction or our blindness or our silence? Johnny?
They told me they feel forgotten. And they sent a message to Christians in the West that said, you would have no Christianity in the West if it wasn't for Christians in the East. Your church history is our church history. And what happened? Did you cut off the satellites? How did you know ISIS wasn't coming into Iraq's second largest city, Mosul? How did you know ISIS wasn't coming in with their pickup trucks, with their bolted guns on the back of it, with the whole world watching? How did you not know that a city that has had tens of thousands of Christians for centuries would have zero left over?
But we're not talking about, yesterday, we were talking about ISIS, and behind me, my staff had picked one of the things that was rolling tape behind me, was after the execution, and it was on the beach in Libya, and it was the sea, blood red, just blood water. And I stopped watching the show last night, and I rewound it and looked at it, and I thought, how is that not everywhere? How are people not seeing those things? But in that same video, the banner up above said, a warning to the people of the cross. Our own media is complicit. Our own media is not telling the story.
Yeah, and they're not doing it because it's Christian, right? It's religious. But what they don't understand is that to ISIS, if you live in this country, you're Christian.
Yeah.
We're a crusader nation in their mind. And so this threat against Christians in the Middle East is very much a threat against anyone in the United States of America because they all put us in this category. And you rest assured, If they had the opportunity to do it here, they would do it here.
They
in fact, they are trying to do it here.
Yeah.
In fact, they have tried to do it here. And a number of we had a beheading in the United States of America. We had police officers attacked on the subway in Brooklyn. We're losing track. I mean, today we have an Air Force vet that gets arrested because he's trying to get to Syria. We had it last night in Washington, D.C. We had a man charge into the cockpit of an airplane yelling jihad. The list goes on. We had an attempted suicide bombing in Washington, D.C. It's just the guy was a part of an FBI sting and got caught. This is happening. And you can rest assured, if ISIS has their chance, they will take the Vatican. They will take over the Vatican. They'll turn the Sistine Chapel into a prison. They'll behead all the priests and put their heads on the Bernini statues all across there, and they'll come here next. That's why we ought to care about it. If our heart doesn't pull us to care for these women and children, then at least our self-interest ought to do so. But we're blind.
Think about that. That's our Christians, brothers and sisters. The land of the Bible, where Thomas, the disciple, brought the gospel. All these things are going on. It's like, what are we doing? We need to wake up. What are we doing? We're going to break that down. What is God? What would God expect? What does he say? What does the Lord tell us to do at a moment like this? To just keep going to our jobs and buying more things and more stuff. I mean, what can we do as the most powerful country, the wealthiest country, the wealthiest nation in the world? What can we do in the freest country in the world? More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Relationships can unravel amid conflict and bitterness and hurtful words. With Focus on the Family Minute, I'm John Fuller. Here's psychologist Dr. David Clark offering his perspectives on why we so often fall short in our relationships.
We see 1 Corinthians 13, love is patient, love is kind, love doesn't keep a record of wrongs. No one can do that without God's help. It's impossible. Ephesians 5, try Ephesians 5, where you love your wife as Christ loved the church and as you love your own body. Humanly speaking, can't do it. I tried for some years to do it on my own. I simply couldn't get it done. That was part of our journey of Sandy and I finding the spiritual bond. All of a sudden, I'm not loving Sandy. God's loving Sandy through me. Hey, that works like a charm. I can do that.
Your marriage isn't all about you trying to love your spouse. It's really a matter of God loving your spouse through you. And you'll find additional insights and trusted resources to help you do that at FocusOnTheFamily.com/marriage.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
John, is that not a tragedy, you know, what you saw right before the break there, what's taking place,
horrific.
We're hearing, you know, and this book, you know, by Johnny Moore, you know, we appreciate Glenn Beck and his program right there for putting that on. And you can catch him, I think, on several different ways, his program. But this book called Defying ISIS, they pushed it, they said, quickly out because this thing is happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
And what's happening? It's happening is that Jesus is being persecuted. The body of Christ, whatever happens to the least of these of mine, Jesus said in Matthew 25, it happens to him. The question is like, are we even engaged in this reality? Are we engaged? There's been so much fiction, so much make-believe,
sure.
So much
movies,
you know, movies and imagery, and almost like the ability to relate to reality has been burnt out. Those neuroreceptors have been burnt out. So when reality hits, people don't really realize, no, you just shot a real person. That's they're not going to come back up, and it's not going to say restart again.
Yeah.
And in the church, I mean, isn't it amazing that America is not even being moved by children being beheaded? Supposedly this compassionate country, we're more moved over someone who was fighting a police officer in the middle of the country, ever how that turns out, you know, God is a just God and he'll work it out. But the grand jury says, and the attorney general says there was nothing done wrong in the context of that. But look at all the involvement over that issue. Why little children's heads are being cut off because they said, I'm a Christian. I mean, can there be any greater persecution than that? Who are we to talk about our pay levels or our housing conditions in the richest, wealthiest country in the world that
that our poorest person in America is richer than 70% of the world's population. And we're not even touched with the infirmities of a mother who watches her husband, or maybe we're touched like a movie or something, like, oh, that was tragic, you know, and we feel pity, but not compassion. You know, compassion has two parts to it. One is we feel bad about it, but then we do something about it. I personally believe, and I encourage you to just say, you know, and you may be, but if you're not, just start pacing the floor and say, God, I'm concerned. I'm concerned that I'm not concerned. I'm concerned that I'm thinking about my vacation, but I'm not thinking about your body being beheaded and crucified and raped. I mean, think about this. A woman she's married, she's a Christian woman, she has a Christian husband, and she has Christian children, right? So then, as the reports are according to Jonathan Moore right here, when they're saying, how could your satellites not see this ISIS trucks, 40 of them coming into our 10 Christian villages, and you didn't stop them? In other words, they know that these things are being watched. Did you turn them off? That's what Johnny was saying in his book. And so, you know, with that, you know, we're watching. So they go into this village, ISIS goes in here in the name of Islam, and takes her children, and it says, are you a Christian? Are your parents Christians? And the child says, yes, and they kill her children. Then they look at her husband and ask him if he's a Christian, and they kill him, they behead him. And they take the wife and maybe a daughter, and they actually sell the daughter for $100-something to an ISIS soldier, to an ISIS radical Islamic soldier, you know, and they marry both of them off to as a sex slave to one of these radical Islamic soldiers. And so not only did you have to see your husband murdered, not only did you see your son beheaded, but every single night, potentially, you're being raped by the one who did it. And you can't, I mean, you still can't deny the faith. You still have to remain faithful to God in the context of that. We're so mindsetted wrong in regards to, there's so many people. If your name was Esther and God was putting you in the right place, you would have been offended. Like, I'm not going to marry this king. I don't care. It's all about me. You know, and at that moment, when Mordecai would have told you, listen, it's such a time as this. This is what's going on right now. God orchestrated this whole thing. You need to stand up. It could cost me my life, Esther said. If I stand up for the Jews, if I stand up for God's people, it could cost me my life. That's our call. And she says, you know, whatever, I'm going to do it. And she does it, and all of God's people are spared. But what happened? She was married to King Xerxes, right? I'm looking, trying to pronounce the X in here. It was like my brain was locking up. And so she still was married to him when this whole thing was over. I mean, how many people would say, like, my marriage, oh, you know, I could serve God if I'm married. She was married to King Xerxes. Come on, she was married to a Persian king, you know?
Catch a clue.
Whose best friend was Haman until they found out that he was plotting and buying his way into office and
everything.
There
was a plan there.
So when everybody got delivered, she still went home to be with King Xerxes, you know? And it was of God. I mean, how many people, you know, it's like, will we go help her? Do we even care as the women in our country? You have so much power as a woman. You can stand up in America. You can stand up and begin to defend the cause of these women and these children over there and begin to say, you know, I'm going to do something about it. And one way to do something about it is to stand up with VFN TV. I mean, we are boldly putting this out across the nation, across the world. We're standing up for God and country and Israel. And it's time to stand up. How can you do that? You can pray. You can partner financially every single month, and you can also sponsor with your business. You can just stand up. Listen, put your cards in the game here. Get something on the table. Put something out there, because if this thing ends called your life before you did something about what's going on with the body of Christ right now, all I can think about is Matthew chapter 25 when Jesus is saying, listen, he says, you know, in verse 44, Jesus said, you know, truly, truly, I tell you, whatever you didn't do to the least of these of mine, you didn't do to me.
That's right.
And so by us not responding to this call, and think about this, you know, when God was sending Jonah to Nineveh, that is muzzle. So when you hear about muzzle today and the prince of Nineveh has been killed. And that's where the head of ISIS headquarters is at. That actually is Nineveh. Now you can see why Jonah was going, hey, I don't want to go to Nineveh. I don't want to go to Mosul. I don't want to go to Iraq. They don't like Christians there. They don't like God there. I don't want to go preach the gospel there. And what was God telling Jonah? This ain't about you. This is not about you. It has nothing. I have a plan. I want to spare this city. They're not a good city. You don't understand, Jonah. They don't know their right hand from their left hand. I don't even need to have your opinion here, Jonah. Just go do what I told you to do. Process happens. He goes. They repent. And a city gets saved. Will you tell me today, if God called you to go to Iraq today as a Christian, if he called you to go to Nineveh today, if he called you to go to Syria as a Christian, if he called you to go to Israel as a Christian, if he called you to go to Egypt as a Christian, if he called you to go to Nineveh, would you be like Jonah? Would you believe that the evil's more powerful than good? Would you believe that the devil is more powerful than God? Would you believe that people are deceived or stronger than God, who is truth? Or would you believe that God is all powerful and that his gospel can transform a nation, can transform a city, can transform a family's life? Do you know, and we'll be having this soon on VFN TV, but it's such a powerful thing. In Iran, you know, for example, when one member of the family gets saved, when their life is utterly transformed, it's such a dramatic thing that most of the time the families get saved. But it's like, well, what's happening in America? Because it's like, dear Lord, you know, we need to check ourselves and make sure, am I any different? Am I living my life different? Am I making any different choices? Is my money being spent differently? Is my time being spent differently? Who do I focus on? You know, is money my God or is God my God? And if you told me to go, how do I go? And if you told me to be a disciple, am I being a disciple? I mean, think about it. And there's people that come to America who were born again from Muslim to Christian, women who didn't want to stay in America because they said it's just like Satan singing America to sleep over here. She was willing to go to a place that would persecute her, that would consider what she does as blasphemy to the prophet of Islam, and facing, you know, imprisonment and death and mutilation, all these different things, because she just felt like, you know, something's not right in America. And it's like, we got to get to that passionate point again. There is a cause. The cause is Jesus Christ. God gave his son for us that we can live, but not just to live for ourselves, to live for him. Do you know he said very specifically, unless we count the cost? Unless, this is Jesus, by the way, saying, this is what he says in Luke. He says, if you don't count the cost, if you don't really say, okay, it's going to cost me all of this, it's going to cost me everything, and then make a conscious decision to say, it's all down, I'm all his. He says, you can't even be his disciple. The only way to cure that is to create another God, another gospel, and another scripture that doesn't even exist. Replacement theology to say, well, Jesus didn't really mean that. You know, he doesn't want to give us everything. He didn't really mean give up your life. You know, he didn't say that, you know, if you don't give up your life, you know, for him and the gospel's sake, that you can't have life. I mean, nah, he didn't say that. Deny yourself, pick up your cross and follow him. No, that couldn't be. He did say that. But the thing about it is, look how, really think about it. And you might, you might need to talk to people around you, because they'll tell you more about what you said in the last 30 days than you'll actually be honest with yourself. So if you look around and say, listen, I want you to tell me what you think about me in the last 30 days. Was I consumed with God? Did I talk about God? Did you feel a sense of urgency when you were around me to do something for God? Did you see me wasting time? If you look at my finances, my check register, my app that manages my finances on, if you looked over the last 30 days, does it say I love God or does it say I love me? I mean, think about it. Don't answer that yourself, because we have a tendency to flatter ourselves. But ask the people around you, because this is what happens. This is how you know it. Because when you are that way, when you're consumed with a love and a passion and knowing that your time is limited here on earth to face the eternity, and you're going to have regrets at the throne room of God if you didn't use this little vapor time for God. You're around folks and people who have loved darkness don't love you. They just don't want to hang around you. Even though you love them, they're thinking, man, when I hang around him, he's talking about God all the time. And he talks about my days are numbered and that there's going to be a judgment seat and that I should be doing something for God and with God and allowing God to move in my life. And he'll talk to me about, I need to honor God with my life and my finances and that my marriage needs to be different than it is. I don't like being around that person because they're consumed with God. I mean, you think about that. I know we got to go to break, but who's the evangelist said, you know, I just set myself on fire or God sets me on fire and they watch me burn?
I think that was John Wesley.
But think about that. You know, on fire for God. This is what Paul said. He says, you know, my bones are just, it's like fire in my bones. Mm-hmm. And we're limited. I mean, no man's promised tomorrow, but you could end. Just think about your last breath. Your last breath could be, you need Jesus. Your last breath is God loves you and God's got a plan for your life. Your last breath could be to a town like Nineveh going, listen, guys, you can turn. God will save this city. God will turn these things around. God will turn this around Israel. God will turn this around America. God is greater than all of this darkness. Just make him the Lord of your life. And then instantly, boom, to be absent for the bodies, to be present with God. And you're standing there going, I am so glad. I'm so glad I didn't squander this freedom, this life, this gift, this great salvation. More we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Understand this. If you don't abide with the Lord, now is a time of all the times and all the history of this nation, now is the time to begin to abide.
No doubt.
While you have time. And if you don't know how to do it, we have a plan for you at iabide.org. iabide.org. It's a simple plan. I mean, you can do it with a crayon and a piece of paper, but you need to, believe me, because any kind of hireling you might have been following is going to panic and run. He says, this is what Jesus said. When they see trouble, they panic and run because they never cared about the sheep in the first place. And if they don't know your name, and I'm saying that they don't, if they you haven't, you know, if y'all don't know each other, it may be the fact they don't not care about you. They don't even know who you are. Wow. You need to get someone who knows your name and get close. And that normally happens in the context of a smaller gathering. So if you're in a large gathering of believers, I encourage you, you know, start in addition to that, you know, get together in like a home group or something or a small gathering, a coffee shop, and build vital relationships with a few other believers. And you can fundamentally transform who you are and even that large gathering where there's everybody's in smaller groups. Because I remember in New Orleans, you know, when Hurricane Katrina hit, that these large gatherings scattered everywhere and nobody knew anybody. You know what I'm saying? The database has gone. It's wet.
Right.
You know, the computer don't work. Mm-hmm. They're in Houston, they're in Louisiana, they're in Mississippi. We were taking people in Pensacola. Mm-hmm. And this is what our friend said, Leo DeJesus, who lives right across the Mississippi there from New Orleans. He has an office that looks right over the Mississippi at the Superdome.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's cool.
He saw some stuff. Actually, that got built after Katrina. Mm. And although he did live there, but that kind of went away because he saw the river. But he said that when the hurricane hit, it scattered the church all over New Orleans. And she's still scattered today. She's still scattered today. And that's what happens because, see, if you had shepherds, you may be scattered, but eventually your shepherd is going to find you because they know you. Mm-hmm. They know who you are. I mean, unless you're avoiding and running and eluding them, they are going to find each other.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so, but he says they're still scattered today. And I'll give a big shout out to Leo Jesus and Sandy. Oh my goodness. Mm. Sister Sandy and brother Leo.
Yeah.
Great, great couple. She's like, get in here. How did you know that? And we met her. She was working in a flower pot. And
literally.
Mm-hmm. And Ants, Vines, and Flower Pots is a real good book to be able to get from Charles Simpson to begin to really think about this. Listen, it is time to do what you got to do what God's called you to do.
this present day situation is being fundamentally transformed. And I really believe it already has been. Now it's just a matter of flipping a few switches to be able to take it there. And but the church will survive if we understand how we're to operate. And if we need a manual, we got one. It's called the Bible.
Right.
It's the Bible. And it's called, we call it abiding with God, which is spending time with him, hiding his word in our heart, talking to God, listening to what he says, and just doing it.
Mm-hmm. Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, wow, Greg Lancaster.
Welcome back. I mean, think about it. You can eliminate tomorrow's regrets today. You are going to be standing before God. God loves you. God's got a plan for your life. But this is the moment in time you can do something for him. This really is. And I have a segment that we're going to be having in the future. You make sure you stay with us. I know that for one particular week, I mean, just hang on. We're going to be mm-hmm. back up after that week. But we stand with WHBR and Christian Television Network in support of what they're doing. And we just appreciate all those that stand with Christian Television Network. And but on March the 30th, when you see us come back up, that it is so important to stay tuned, because, you know, a lot of times when you're doing something right, it couldn't feel more wrong. It's kind of strange.
Amazing,
it's like,
how that happens, huh?
It's like when you are up, the enemy tells you you're down.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're down, the enemy tells you you're up. For example, when you're not in sin, the devil lies to you and tell you you're in sin. But when you are in sin, the devil tells you you're all right. Mm-hmm. And it's amazing. Like, and when you start going to do what God says, realize that you're going against the grain. You're going against what most folks, either that's stationary, which really is no such thing, but you're going against the current. I don't know if you've ever been in a river before and just try to stand up when the water's coming against you. And you're thinking, it's just so much easier to go with the flow. That's what that comes from. It doesn't come from just some verbiage thing out here. It's like a river. If you're in a river and the flow's going a certain way, it is easier to go with the flow. But God tells us in Romans, you know, through Paul, the writing of Paul, the church of Rome, in Romans chapter 12, he says, you know, be not conformed to the patterns of this world.
That's right.
And it's sad to say, you know, don't look for the current to carry you, the earthly current, the American current, but look for the current of heaven to carry you. Because God, even though everything may be fighting against you, even Jesus said, even in your own home, you may have to go against the current of your own home. He says, even in your own home, maybe your spouse and your children or your parents are against, they're the opposite flow of where you're going. I mean, you're wanting to go with God, and every time you sit at the table with them for dinner, it's like you have to re-encourage yourself because they pulled the courage out of your life for the things they said to you. You have to look at that and say, you know what? That's just the current coming against me. That he told me not to conform to the patterns of this world. And if wide is the road, the flow that leads to darkness, I'm going to go against the current. I'm going to do what God says. And if you're the only person that does it, and I have, you know, things that remind me of things, you know, everywhere. But one thing I have is this Christian Marine that was in Syria. And he was trying to minister to, he's out of the military now.
Mm-hmm.
He was trying to minister and just meet the needs in Syria of the oppressed folks that are there. There's quite a few. And when ISIS came in, they took him captive. I mean, here he's just being kind. He's being long-suffering. He's feeding. He's taking care of folks. He and his wife. And they behead him. What did he do? He loved. What did Jesus do? He healed, he forgave, he saved, and they crucified him. I mean, going against the grain, if somebody's held captive by darkness, they're going to do what the dark leader over them impresses on them or lies to them or convinces them to do. He said, there'll be a day people will kill you, Jesus said this, and think they're doing me a favor. They'll really be convinced by the deceiver that God wants them to kill you, hurt you, harm you, oppress you, all this crazy stuff people do against people. I mean, just a little hint. If you look at history, everybody that begin to conspire against anybody ends up falling in their own trap.
Mm.
God didn't call anybody
to try to do anybody in. I mean, he just didn't do that. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
It's he didn't ask you to do that. That's not your ministry.
Yeah, I don't care what your intercessor say. Anyway, so God is for people. He's for people, and he's for his son. And if you're for Jesus, as Jesus explained to his disciples, don't mess with them. Mm. You know, they're preaching Jesus, and so it's time for us to unify around. What does God want us to do? Because the church is being persecuted. People are being beheaded and crucified. And it's like, you know, the question that you hear is like, you know, what's the play for this Sunday at church? Mm. You know, I want to wear this outfit to church. Or, you know, you think about it, you could have wore the same outfit, not bought that last one, and you could have sent those funds or you could have just sent them to someone to be able to provide for a need there. You could have went yourself and bought a plane ticket and gone there. I mean, think about giving your life. Giving your life for the cause. Now, I think about the Moravians. You know, we go back to a previous segment. Hopefully, it's a related article to this particular segment on the VFN Torch. But it was just normal to give your life for the cause. It was just normal. No, there was no big shots like, you know, big heroes because somebody went into the mission field. I mean, even people who go in the mission field, they have this mindset. It's like, you know, I want to come back in hero status. It's like hero status. You know, we just need to get more people out there with you. And that's one of our visions, one of our passions, is to just ignite the church with all seven of these spheres of society. And one of them is the church going in as a mission in all these seven spheres of influence, which, is, of course, is the church or religion, family, education, government, arts and entertainment, media, and businesses, going into those parts of culture and begin to be the light that we're called to be, to prevent these things from happening that's happening right now in the Middle East and that's trying to happen here, you know, in America. And if you heard what Glenn Beck said on an earlier program, if you heard what Rick Joyner of Morningstar Ministries said on an earlier program, if you heard what we said and others have said, that this persecution is coming to America. I think about, you know, K.H.R. Bradford out of Houston, Texas. And she's a pastor there, but God spoke to her in a night vision and showed her that this same decision's coming to your house, coming to you.
Doorsteps, right?
Your doorsteps. And the decision is this. And that was the decision that's coming to these children, the decisions that are coming to these men and women is this. Who's your God? Is Jesus the Lord of your life? I mean, even an FBI retired officer said, you know, on Megyn Kelly's show, I believe it was, or Greta Sestern's program, she said, wouldn't it be easy if ISIS or radical Islam arrest you and take you into captivity just to convert?
Mm-hmm. Deny Jesus, right?
Well, she means, yeah, deny Jesus and as the Son of God. And, even the FBI agent said, the retired agent said, that's every man's test. This is for every one of us. There is no other gospel. The question is, and this is what was powerful, what Johnny Moore said, this author of Defying ISIS, he said, you know, what these children, what these Christians are dying for, what they're dying for right now, right this moment in the Middle East, in Iraq, that American Christians aren't willing to even live for. I mean, think about that. What children are saying, knowing what's going to happen when they say, yes, I'm a Christian. Knowing that when he says, yes, I'm a Christian, that he's fixing to be right in front of his wife, and his wife could be taken as a sex slave and taken to this, that he can't deny Jesus. And he knows he dies for Jesus. He dies for the cause. I mean, it just challenges me to go, Lord, I just need to be more on fire for you. Yeah. I need to be, I'm not giving enough of myself to you. So many people, most people just watch TV. That's all they do. That's all they do. I mean, they drive 90 miles an hour down from work, you know, and watch a computer all day and then watch a TV at night. And that's all they do. While people are dying and we're not, what are we doing? We have to awaken ourselves and say, you know, and shake ourselves. And this is what the Word of God says, test ourselves to see if we're in the faith. I mean, people are going to people and they're saying things like, am I a believer? It's like,
you're asking the question.
I'm going to, by the way, don't ever answer that question and begin to ask them questions, because if they're asking you, you can't tell them they are. Mm. They can tell you they are, because your spirit bears witness with his spirit that you're a son of God, that you're a daughter of God. I mean, you know, when you're saved, it's not, if you don't know that you are, you need to make a decision now. Let me tell you what, just no such thing as like, yeah, because, you know, because they say we're a Christian nation, everybody born here is a Christian. It's not true. But you can decide today, today, to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. You don't have to have a sword at your neck. You don't have to have ISIS trucks pulling into your community. You don't have to have a black flag flying over your nation. You could say, you know what, God? I want you. I want you. I want you to be the Lord of my life. I want Jesus to be the Lord of my life now, Lord, so I can serve you. And so I could stand with these amazing young people, these amazing women and men who are putting my walk to shame. I want to walk with you, God. I want to be a holy soldier in the context of laying down my life and loving other people, loving God, loving others, and leading others to the same. Spreading the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ. We shared our testimonies at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org. If you go there, you can actually find out what happened in our lives, but also you can find out how you can make Jesus the Lord of your life. More when we get back from the break.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Well, as we can hear from the break, you know, what John doesn't do in height, he does in vocabulary. He's really good at his words.
There you go. Hey. We all have our gifts. We all have our gifts.
That's, I mean, it's almost like a what's it called? A tournament?
I said tournament.
Okay, I just can't do the tournament, the thing.
Kind of just like that.
Yeah, as a matter of fact,
wrestling. One of the
we have so much entertainment from the program that Don and I were talking about ski masks. And Donna's going like, I knew what it was before y'all guys knew what it was. I'm thinking like, we were hoping it was more deeper than that. I didn't realize he was talking about a ski mask. Like, Donna's, anyway, so.
Welcome back to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
What is so personally encouraging at this moment is, we still have more life ahead of us. I mean, our last breath hasn't been taken yet. Our clock hasn't stopped ticking yet. Our heart, your heart, hasn't stopped beating yet. No matter what's happened, you have time now to be able to make different choices. It's going to be against the grain. But think about it. At that moment, when 40 ISIS trucks are pulling up into your 10 church communities, Christian communities in Iraq, the wave that was coming that way, the river that was coming that way, children chose not to conform. They just said, I'm a Christian. I'm going to stand for, even this is what it cost me, so I'm going to stand. Husbands stood. Daughters, sons stood. Wives stood. I mean, think about it. It's you know, the two biggest strongholds right now probably in America is comfort and convenience. Listen, just pray God would take that away. I mean, if that's holding you down, you're thinking like that would keep me in, I would be out of my comfort zone and it wouldn't be as convenient for me in my life. You know, it may make me tired. It may put me in a place of debt. I mean, the ultimate thing when you're leaving this life is that you have nothing left, that you would have put everything that you have on the table for God. I mean, you don't want to leave. I mean, you know, all your stuff does not follow you out of the world. I mean, when you get buried, it ends, and fools inherit those things, he says. Proverbs, Solomon said this. He says, here a man works, labors, and works, labors, and works, and labors, and he says,
gathers,
and ends up turning it over to a fool. And the thing is that it's just not about all that kind of stuff. It's about, did you tell them the most greatest treasure at all you could give someone is the knowledge that God loves them, God's got a plan for their life, and that God would forgive them, that God wants to restore them, bring them into his family. God wants them and has called them. And if that one says, yeah, celebrate and disciple them and relate to them. If they say no, go to the next one. Be committed and convinced that, you know what, this is my Father's business. It might not be your Father's business, but my Father is Father God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his son is Jesus Christ. And this is his business, to seek and save that which is lost, to make disciples of nations, to begin to believe that we can impact cultures because we stand up for God, begin to believe that God can give us innovative ideas and concepts, blessed to be a blessing, that God could move major resources through us, and he'll get them to us if he can get them through us, that everything could change as we know it, that our God is in control, 100% control. Why would a God who loves you want anything bad to happen to you if you're actually making him your God, if you love him? I mean, he's going to protect those who love him and those that made Jesus Christ the Lord, he is the Lord of their life. I mean, he says he's going to do that. But greater than that, the thing about it is that if he is for you, I mean, think about who can be against you. I mean, if God, the creator of the universe, who when the disciples were worried about money, he said, go down to the river, go down, look in the fish's mouth, there's gold in the mouth of fish. I mean, think about that. I mean, he held the water together. He held the fish together. He held the gold coin that was in the fish's mouth together. She held the atmosphere, the earth rotating, and the universe, and the sun, and the Milky Way was all held together. And why was it such a big deal for us to say, you know what? I'm going to follow God, and if I need a gold coin, it's going to be right there in front of me. And I'm going to take it, and I'm not going to worry about giving it. It's taxes. I'm just going to give it to tax. I'm not worried about paying taxes. You know, this stuff is just, we've got to begin to think about who's in control. God is in control, but do we believe he's in control? And if he is in control, and he is, what are we doing with the liberty and the freedom that he gave us? Are we responding to Jesus going through this persecution? Whatever happens to the least of these of his happens to him. I mean, think about that. Think about it. Right now, that means the Christians that are being beheaded, that are being raped, that are being tortured, that's Jesus being raped, Jesus being beheaded, and Jesus being tortured. And what are we doing with it? What are we doing with that? We can do something. And one way, like I said, is to stand up with VFN TV. John, I mean, you think about this. You think about this, and it's just like we're in a lullaby is being sung to the American church in America, and it's like, you know, they thought about in Israel's election was that everybody was going to be lulled to sleep and more concerned about, you know, money, things and stuff. Mm-hmm. And they stood up for what was right, you know, for the country at the time. I mean, what do you think in regards to this? I mean, this is the moment, isn't it?
This is the moment. I mean, people have to realize, and we all have, or we're paying attention. This is not a movie. This is not make pretend. Yeah. This is real. Yeah. And at the end of the day, you know, regret is a horrible thing to, you know, to ponder and to go through. We could avoid tomorrow's regrets today by making the right decisions, by refusing to be asleep. You know, we want to pray with you. We want to pray with you, and we want to just go to God with this. Father, Lord, we just are coming to you right now, Lord, on behalf of our brothers and our sisters that are being persecuted all over the world, Lord. Those that are being persecuted in Iraq, in Syria, Lord, in the Middle East. Lord, we pray right now, Lord, that it will stop in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would strengthen, Lord, the believers that are there, God, and you would let their seed, Lord, their blood be the seed, Lord, for a great, awesome move of God in the Middle East, that many will come to know you and awaken your church, God, that right now it's time for us to turn our hearts to you and get involved and get busy with the Father's work. We pray this in Jesus' name. God bless.
Amen.
We want to give special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless. We'll be right back.
don't forget, you can catch us on at VFNTV.com on the app. You can search in your app store for V as in Victor, VFNTV. Or you can, how else? I mean, so many different ways. We have podcast,
Torch.
The Torch is so cool because you can go and sign up. Go to, you can text, what's the number?
22828.
22828. Text VFNTV, that's V Victor, VFNTV to
22828.
And in a few moments, you'll be receiving the Torch every single week. And so if you miss something on the radio, if you want to hear it again, or you think that's great, you go, man, I wish I could hear that again. Guess what? It will be sitting in your email on that Friday. That Friday. So when you wake up Saturday morning, you're there Friday night, you're going to be able to go back and listen and share with other people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what you experienced, and you can participate in the great expectation of God by sharing the good news, by sharing God's perspective, you know, bring, you know, by sharing what we were attempting to do is give a light perspective of a God perspective, a biblical perspective, if you would, of what's happening in our life,
mm-hmm.
a reasonable conversation. And I got to tell you, you know, when I was in Destin and Donna were spending time there celebrating our 25th wedding anniversary in Sugar. So it was the sand was like sugar out there. That I got a chance, you know, obviously listening to VFN radio. And VFN radio is so encouraging. I mean, think about it. Whatever comes into your eyes, whatever comes into your ears makes you up. It's, you know, faith comes by hearing. And if you want to stir your faith and hear reality at the same time, hear a biblical perspective so it doesn't terrify you, but it will give you a biblical perspective and go, you know, hey, that's right. You know, we just talked about in the first hour, the biblical perspective of our soldiers that are putting such a sacrifice out there is King David. And when you talk to your legislator, you can say, wait a minute, this is a principle that's been around. This is a Judeo-Christian country. This is what we should do. We should honor our soldiers. And you can go back and you can listen to it. We'll see. It gives you a biblical perspective when they start taking it. We're going to defund the VA, or we have a million vets that can't get into the system. It'll take us a couple, you know, then you can get a biblical perspective of the whole thing. So you hear the news, you know, that this is going on, but then you go, wait a minute, it's godly for me to stand up.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's a godly thing for me to stand up for these soldiers. And that's what's called a biblical perspective. And over again, we're trying to do that. Okay. You have folks that are refusing to get out of bed and go to work. You have people that are complaining about their life being so miserable. Well, we have a biblical perspective of that we just shared, that you're going to have integrity, that got life, true peace is being able to press through and meet the demands of reality, which will require your flesh to be unhappy, but God will reward you for that, and you can have peace no matter where you are. You see, so we're able to deal with a reality that, hey, as long as your flesh is comfortable, you're going to be in bondage. But as long as your spiritual is comfortable, you're going to be free no matter where your flesh is.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's so your body is what I'm talking about. And so I just want to encourage you that you need that kind of balance. You don't bury your head in the sand of denial and say, I don't want to know what's going on because it's too big. God's people are destroyed from a lack of knowledge. You got to be able to look at both. You got to be able to look at what is going on. Then you got to hear what God says, God's word says about it. And that's called a biblical perspective. It's not enough to know the news. You need to know what to do with the news. You know.
All right.
And you can get that on VFN Radio. Go to VFNTV.com or search for it in your app store by searching for V as in Victor, VFN TV. Or just go to VFNTV.com and get your app there.